Dr. Edward Shree, who has a number of Bible studies on the Formed website that you can access through our own website, he tells a story about a young woman who grew up in a parish like our own, who had a good moral foundation, moral teachings. She went to church every Sunday, she was in the youth group, and then she went off to college. And at the beginning of her freshman year, she had a political philosophy class. And in the political philosophy class, the professor gave a survey. And he was wanting to look at how political and religious views intersect. And at the end of the survey, she was walking out with a friend that she had met at college. And he said, "Hey, are you going to the party tonight?" She said, "Yeah." He said, "Hey, what'd you put down for that question on same-sex marriage?" She said, "Well, I don't believe in that, that I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman." And he said, "Oh, that's kind of funny. I put the opposite." Then he laughed again and said, "Well, to each his own." And he said, "I'll see you at the party." And so they walked out, and she didn't think much more of it until she got to the party. And as she walked in, he got up on a chair and pointed to her. He said, "Hey, everybody, guess what she said in class today? She said that she thinks same-sex couples shouldn't be able to get married. Can you believe that?" And after that, people kept coming up to her. "How can you be so judgmental? How can you Christians impose your views on everybody else? How can you be so mean-spirited? You're a mean person." And she took this for about 20 minutes and then left because she didn't want to put up with it anymore. But as she left, something in her changed. She realized how hard it is to stand up for moral truths in a time when people don't accept them, and that one would have to suffer for these truths. And she thought of a way that she could hold her own morals, so she thought, and yet not offend anybody else. And all she had to do was add two words to any time she talked about her moral convictions. And so she would say something like, "I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. For me. For me. I believe that abortion is wrong. For me. I believe that sex is only for marriage. For me. For me." And by adding those two words, she felt like she could maintain her own moral teachings and at the same time not offend anybody else. And we can see why she would be led that way. No one wants to be mean. And we just heard in the scriptures that we're not to judge another person. Not as man sees, does God see. Because man sees the appearance, but the Lord looks into the heart. And so that very clear biblical teaching, that we cannot judge another person's heart. We cannot say who they are or how they are before the Lord. You know, I'm in the midst of this sermon series on the subtleties of Satan, how he takes a truth and then distorts it just a little bit and takes a virtue and turns it into a vice without us even realizing what he's doing. And he does that with this teaching. This true teaching that we are not to judge the heart of another person or to think that we can know what their stance is before the Lord. But Satan changes one word in that sentence. He changes heart to actions so that we hear and believe that you cannot judge another person's actions. And we become fearful of saying anything without adding those words, "for me," because we feel like we're violating that. He's got us to buy into something that is the complete opposite of the Word of God. Because in the second reading today, we hear that we must judge actions. Not only must we judge actions, we must expose actions that are evil. "Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, expose them." And if there's any question, this whole section of Ephesians is about sexual immorality. It's about that realm. The realm that our culture most struggles with. There are two truths we must hold. One, we cannot judge another person's heart, their stance before God. But on the other, we're commanded to judge actions. And I could give you 10 more passages from the New Testament alone, where that is either explicitly stated or it is shown in demonstration, that we must judge actions in the light of Christ's teaching to us. But why do we not want to do that? Because we don't want to offend people. We don't want people to feel bad. But is that true love? Is that what it means to love one's neighbor? Is that how we treat our children? That we just try to not upset them in any way? Or is love being able to say, "You're on a wrong path. Or there's something in error here"? I remember when I was in college, there came a point where I had a friend who came up to me and told me that I was drinking excessively, too much and too often. And at first I was like, who are you to judge me? I'll live my life, you live yours. My other friends don't say these kind of things. And I was upset. But in the long term, I realized that was the true friend, the one who loved me enough to call me out. And because we had a good friendship already at that time, I could hear those words and receive them, even if I did not respond to them for some time. It reminds us that we must have that relationship with people and be able to speak words of truth and charity. But I want to go back to those two words that this young woman added, because we are tempted to add these when we're in mixed company. We don't want to seem like the mean person, the mean-spirited person. And so we're tempted to add those words. Well, that's for me, at least. But what happens is it doesn't help them, and it can completely destroy us. Because what we are saying when we say for me is we're saying that there is not a structure to reality, that there is not absolute truth, that morals are like opinions that can change. I like chocolate, you like vanilla. I like bluegrass, you like pop. Those things are just opinions, and they can change. And if we don't believe there's a structure to reality, a truth, an absolute truth, then we can never stand up to moral dilemmas. Because in a moral dilemma, we're pushed to the heart. And if we don't have a structure, we're going to cave. Because we'll say to myself, well, for me, in this situation, just this one time, it's okay. I liked chocolate yesterday, today I like vanilla. I believe this morally, but today I'm not going to believe this morally. I would not say that cheating on one's spouse is good, but in this situation, for this one night, I think it's okay for me personally. You see, we begin not to have any kind of structure, anything to stand upon anymore. And that's exactly what happened to this young woman. She said by the end of her freshman year, she was doing things she'd never imagined she would ever do, because she no longer had a structure of reality, truth, and falsehood. And so it's not just fitting in. It's destroying our hearts and the structure of our reality. Today in the gospel, Jesus makes it clear he has come to be the light, to open our eyes. And as Christians, we have that same call then, to be a light. We can't put the light under a bushel basket. Where do our morals come from? If they don't come from God and Jesus Christ, his word and his church, then where do they come from? But if they do come from him, then we must stand firm in what he has revealed. He alone is the light that has come into this world and has enlightened us in the darkness. And so today he tells us, you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. And so we pray in this Mass to hold those two scriptural truths together, that we can never judge another person's heart, but we must judge actions, because there is right and wrong. And the Lord has made us Christians. He has given us the fullness of truth, and we cannot hide that light.